Well, Dan mentioned about putting off and putting on. I'm being put off here. So it's been my privilege to serve as an elder the past 4 years. I would call what I'm going to share with you a kind of personal testimony, a new phase of life. A new phase of life. And as we live our lives, we go through different times. You know, we're school children, and we graduate from high school, and then all of a sudden we got to figure out what we're doing next, and we go to college, and then we got to figure out. And just things keep constantly changing. And yet God is faithful through all of them. And he wants us to press on to the end of our life. And if you want to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to focus on last part of verse 13 and 14, and then share about a lot that has happened in the last 4 years, both for Westerville Bible Church and for this person to be put off. But if you read in the middle of verse 13, it said, "But one thing I do," Paul says, "forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And I think it is important that we're able to move from where we were to where God wants us to be in different phases of life and be open and honest about it in terms of there. So I'm going to share some thoughts about my past in the past 4 years, all the changes that have gone on, and how many different things concluded in my life. 4 years ago yesterday, I concluded my marriage with Patty. The Lord took her home. I saw her breathe her last breath. And later in that year, in August, we had a wonderful memorial service for you. I appreciate those who were able to attend in the midst of COVID, and we had it over at the gym at Northside. And I went home, and I took off my wedding band and set it aside, saying, "Lord, what do you have for me next? What do you have for me next?" And my family was very gracious with me. They had me over with the grandkids and my daughter for plenty of meals. And I had much support from you folks in Westerville Bible Church with meals. I was invited over sometimes. Several people I invited over and said, "Come on over. I'm kind of lonely here by myself." So I concluded my marriage. I concluded the decades of serving as a junior high Sunday school teacher with COVID and everything else and the not doing Sunday school. That was a ministry that was phased out, and I enjoyed that for decades. I concluded coaching. I had been coaching over at Northside, the middle school girls volleyball team, for 8 years, and that last COVID year was my last year as coaching, so that was the one ministry that I left behind. I'm concluding and transferring many of the ministries that Patty and I had had at Pinal Bible Camp over the years, some of the registration stuff and the finances for the camping program, it turned over to Ann and Wes. Josh has picked up some of my kitchen and custodial responsibilities. I've reduced my on-site presence throughout the summer. Patty and I used to move up there all summer and serve, but that's something that others need to take on now. Last year, I did a little bit of staff processing, and this year, I'm not processing any of the staff applications. We have someone else, Tony Garrett, who is doing that. So I'm concluding and passing on some of these things. I concluded living in my house. I lived there for 48 years, and we had a quick sale. In a week, it was up, and we got one good offer that was the appraised price, and we were allowed to keep our stuff in there for quite a while afterwards, and we had our everything free garage sales, and many of you helped by taking some of that stuff. And then now I'm concluding my 4-year term as elder on the session, which I've enjoyed that as a ministry. So boy, a lot of stuff, but forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what the Lord has for you next. Well, I had many changes, so that was my past. A lot of changes started coming. As a single guy, my biggest prayer was, "Lord," three-pronged. I may have shared this before. "Search me, break me, send me. What do you have for me to do?" And through a contact with my son Mark. He said they need an office manager down in Florida at Gospel Mission of South America. And I prayed, Lord, would you be willing, did you want me to go down there and live down there in Florida? Leave my church, the camp ministries that I had, that time the coaching opportunities, the fellowship family, would I be willing to just pack up and go down there if that's where you wanted to? And I said, all right, let's try it out. And so I went down there, and I didn't take the office position, but I took one of the office workers back with me. And that's where I met Lois. And the Lord just brought our hearts together. And in 4.5 months later, we were married. And I got a lot of interesting consultation and different comments and ideas, and appreciate a lot of support from so many of you. And yet, Lord, what is your desire for us? What is your desire for us, Lord? What's your will? And I know Patty would have approved. Patty and I actually talked about me getting remarried again after she was going to go home with the Lord. And that may be, if you're older, you might be a conversation you might want to have with your spouse. But just to feel the liberty, theologically, marriage is until death do we part. And Patty and I parted at that point in time. And the Lord was able to provide a lady. I just, younger guys, I had a list of requirements what I was looking for if I were to get another spouse. And there were some definite ones, you know, loves the Lord, knows him as Savior, faithful in attendance. And there were some highly desirables, and there were some, you know, pretty nice and optional. She was 15 for 15. So I was looking for the right thing, and the Lord just brought us together in a very special way. And then the Lord allowed us to her and Loida to move up here. We found an apartment for Loida, and many of you were so helpful in moving her in and providing her things, because they came up from Florida with 8-12 tubs of stuff. That's all they had. I had a lot more stuff in my house. But you helped her furnish her apartment, and to me, I'm very thankful to see Lois and Loida both here in our fellowship, the way you've loved her and them and cared for them, and the way they continue the ministry that they've had for years down in Chile and Argentina in our own fellowship. And I trust they are a blessing to you, certainly as they are to me. They get to do it in English too, which is kind of nice. I think they enjoy that. Well, we were married on March 27th, 2021. We kid each other saying, you know, if we got married in our 20s, we might not have had the best match. But boy, in our 60s and 70s, the Lord has just brought us together in a very special way, and we're just perfect for this time. And we were excited to be the first couple to walk down that aisle right down in the middle that opened up the chairs and everything else, and we're glad we had chairs that we could move those things around. So we were very excited to be married here. And 4 days after we were married, our dear friend and your friend, Barbara Feely, went home to be with the Lord. So one Saturday we had a wedding, the next Saturday we had a funeral. And the Lord knew it, worked through all that thing. It was our privilege to help manage her estate, and we're thankful for how Barbara honored the Lord with what the Lord had given her in her estate, and we benefit from some of that that has been given to Westerville Bible Church. Well, okay, that's enough change for a while, yeah? Well, this past summer, we learned that there was a place open at Ferradine that we could move into if we were interested, and we had put our name down there just kind of haphazardly a while back, but as we prayed about it, the Lord said, yeah, I think this is what you want to do. You want to give up that shoveling of snow and mowing of grass and fixing of things and just move there. And so the Lord, as I said earlier, sold our house. Many of you supported us in our move. Some of the people there were impressed. I said, we had 14 people from our church that helped us move. And you're kidding. Yeah, that's what our fellowship does. We help one another. I did learn from that move that that it is much more fun to move somebody than to be moved. Having moved a lot of people in the past and helped you out, it was great to have your help. But boy, that was a hassle. 48 years of stuff. You spend half your life getting stuff and the other half getting rid of it. So may that be a lesson to learn. And then we're thankful. I remember Lois praying diligently that we could get a place for Lloyd up there. And that happened in 6 months. And normally it's a couple years waiting. And the Lord gave her just a great villa apartment just a short distance from ours. And that she can minister up there. So a lot of changes. Things are different. Well, what about my future? What's going on? Am I ready to retire? Well, I'll do what the Lord has for me to do as long as I can do it. I'm going to continue interacting with people, playing pickleball and table tennis, pickleball a couple times, table tennis once a week, and working to just contact, to sow seeds of the gospel. I always try to wear some kind of T-shirt that evokes conversation, either a Peniel Bible Camp T-shirt, or I have several thankful T-shirts that have a pickleball on it, and they say, "How you doing?" Well, I'm thankful. And a guy asked me just this Wednesday, "So what are you thankful for?" Oh, good. Well, I'm thankful the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for all my sins. Ooh, yeah, what else are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for my wife, too. But just giving you opportunity, looking for things that we can say to people that trigger conversations. I might talk about, you know, in times past when I was very active with camp, I serve at a Bible camp. I don't serve at a camp, I serve at a Bible camp. Or I'm now married to a lady who's been a missionary in South America for 40 years. Oh, really, a missionary? And sometimes you can get right into talking about the Lord. So I look for trigger points where you can talk and interact with people, sometimes new people, and just bring conversations around about the Lord. I'll continue serving as the High Bible Mission Treasurer and Board Member. That involved with getting all the finances. I worked so hard to change the address from things going to Parkview to Laird Lane. I need to continue that for a while. But I appreciate the fact of seeing how the Lord provides money for our camp in many different ways. Begun and will continue working with the Myers and Pastor Smith at Brookdale Senior Living. We do that once on Tuesday afternoons, and looking forward to ministering there. And those who've been around a long time know we used to have all kinds of rest home ministries, and we have groups that come out once a month and go there. And I remember you used to always go in there, you bring your kids, and you look up to these old people. And now I look at these old people and I say, I am one of them. I'm one of them. And you have an idea of what's going on in their heart and in their life, and you're ministering to them as peers. And then a wonderful thing happened just a month or so ago. Faradine had a Bible study, always on the schedule, Friday morning. And we hadn't had a chance to go and attend it. We'll see what that's about at some point in time when we're not so busy. But we finally went, and Lois, Lloyd, and I went, and they were showing videos. And that was kind of, there was a good message that was preached, and you know, and that was kind of it. There was about six people, not besides ourselves, that were there. And I tried to provide some wrap-up comments and maybe pray at the end, and they appreciated that. And after a couple of weeks, I said, "Do you ever have a person that actually comes and talks to you?" And they go, "Well, it's been a long time." But I said, "Well, I'd be willing to do that. I've done it in different places." And they said, "Yeah, that would be good." And so the Lord has allowed us to really take the leadership for that Faradine Bible study. And the last 2 weeks we were there, they had 17, counting ourselves. And it's a totally different ministry than what we've done when we go to a senior living facility, because these are people we know. These are people that we eat dinner with frequently, and people that are, many of them are very cognizant, and they can think and act and everything else. So these are like a regular little, quote, congregation. They come from all kinds of different church backgrounds. Pastor talked a little bit about that today. But to preach the gospel, to preach Bible truth, and all our lessons are entitled, What Does the Bible Say About the Bible, About God, About Jesus, About the Holy Spirit? This Friday we're going to be talking about what does the Bible say about us. And so we're teaching doctrine, the depravity of man, the need of salvation. So pray for us on that. I think we're really excited about being able to do that. And I've had some opportunities to help some older folks work through some of their own old life transitions as I'm going through my old life transitions. And we kind of go through that together and open to seeing how the Lord will desires to use me in the future. Well, in concluding, some lessons for all of us. Each phase of life has changes, challenges, and areas for growth. The Lord isn't done with us until we breathe our last. And to look for that and to adjust, no one really likes change. There's a couple people I think I've met in my life that do, but most of us don't. But forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to what's ahead, to think about where am I going to be in another couple of years? What's the changes that I need to make and be prepared for? What are the changes I need to prepare for my children in the next couple of years ahead? Am I thinking about that? And then looking to the Lord for guidance and submitting to His will in those areas. Even in times of change, God is there. He is good. He is trustworthy. And we need to press on forward. I'm going to close with a verse and a couple of comments, a couple of verses in Psalm 48, 12 through 14. They're kind of interesting verses to read. Psalm 48, 12. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels. Why would you do that? He's saying, walk around here. Look, see what's going on. Why would you do that? Well, he says it. Continues, that you may tell the next generation that this is God. Look and see what God has done and is doing in your life and in our church. That we can tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He's an eternal God worthy of our worship and praise and our energies. And then it concludes with, He will guide us forever. King James says, even unto death. He will guide us throughout our entire life. Evaluates what's happening in your life. Understands God's goodness and what He is doing in your life now. And where He wants it to be. Let's tell it to our next generation that they would follow Him as well, even unto death.
Thank you for the opportunity to sort out some of my most recent thoughts. I haven't been a deacon before, but I've had the joy of serving several churches on a mission trip and at Bible camp, we all love and appreciate. This has been over the last 35 years or so. When I look at this opportunity, I'm a little worried about carrying around a deacon title, but what I do know is I want to contribute what I can to work with others in preparing this place for worship of our Savior. It's with the title or not, it's my pleasure to serve here. And if I don't communicate anything else, I want you guys to know what's so great about here. We're a body that God put together. The scripture that stuck in my head when I kind of thought about this was 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. I don't want to confuse myself with the larger discourse that goes on in chapter 12 and 13. I'll leave that to Pastor Smith. But I'm only reminded by this small picture in these verses that God made us something together, and to serve together. And not as a hodgepodge mix of things like I might cobble together in the lab sometime, but something beautiful that God's designed to do his work in this world, the work of reaching that world. Already in the last few days, you know, I've seen people come forward, you know, and being really brave in coming forward, and I'm impressed and thankful for it, that they see something, a need in the church, and they see something they can do about it, and they want to do that, and just the joy of watching them go about figuring out what can be done about it and moving on forward and being part of this living thing that works to reach out to the world. I mean, it's just great to watch. There's several things that I've seen already. And I mean, you know, the specific call out that I'll do, because I know he won't. I so appreciate Nino yesterday. You know, I mean, I stuck the mower, and Nino jumps into the Slough of Despond, which, if you guys didn't know, is right over there, and delivers me and the mower from this mess that it was in, all 1,000 pounds of it or whatever it was. And we actually had fun playing in the mud doing it, but I don't know if Nino had fun, but I had fun. So just seeing these things work themselves out in very living physical examples has been great already, and I'm looking forward to a lot more of that in the future. And thank you.
Well, I'd like to share something out of the book of Proverbs, if you'd join me in turning to the 10th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Proverbs, of course, are wise sayings, and here's an entire book of wise sayings from the Lord. And some of these wise sayings are about wisdom itself. This is one of those. Verse 19 says, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So this is about wisdom. It's also about our speaking. The Bible has a lot to say about our speaking and about wisdom both. And this verse is telling us that restraining our lips is prudent, is wise. You see here that there's a comparison being made between a couple of thoughts here, a couple of extremes, or a couple of ways to go with our speech. One is to use many words, and that's compared with restrained words. So we're talking about quantity of speech, but when we think about restrained speech, we also think about quality of speech as well. And the two are pretty much married, because once you determine to be purposeful and thoughtful about your speech and in the quality of it, then it does reduce the quantity and help with that. So we see a comparison here that the Lord is making: many words, restrained words. And then we also see the outcome of those two different kinds of speeches. Speech that has many words, you can depend on having a lot of transgression. Transgression is not lacking. So the outcome for the many words is transgression, not lacking. That's compared with prudence. So a couple definitions here that you may already know, but never to assume and not to just overlook things. Prudence, what is prudence? Well, it is wisdom. I've already used that word interchangeably with it. This is not always the same word for wisdom or the most common word for wisdom in the Bible, though. It does seem to have an idea of insight or wisely understanding. People talk about reading the room when you are talking or when you're entering a room and you determine to speak to people and knowing what to say and how people might react. But it's not just a matter of reading the room. It's really reading the Word of God and knowing what God wants you to say in certain circumstances and such. But that's prudence, is if you can do that, if you can have a wise understanding of what you ought to say, that's what someone who holds back his speech is doing. He's demonstrating that kind of understanding, that kind of insight, is what this verse is saying. This is commendable. This is what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to just utter our minds. And he doesn't want us to speak without thought, but he wants us to be prudent. And actually, the word restrain here, though you may think, well, I know what restrain means, but this word can also have an understanding of withhold. So restrain kind of has the idea of controlling, but withhold means to just pull back altogether. And there may be times where both are needed, or in some cases you may need to just not say anything. Other cases, you need to control carefully what you're going to say. But someone who does that, who restrains his lips, who's being thoughtful that way, that's wise, that's prudent, that's insightful. So you have these two comparisons, the many words and restrained words, and the outcomes: transgression is not lacking. Transgression is one of the words the Bible uses for sin, right? And this word usually means a more willful action. It's not just missing the mark, as some words would mean. This is trespassing. It's crossing the line. The more you speak, the more opportunity you have to cross the line, to trespass against people and against the Lord, right? And this may especially manifest itself when you have disagreements with people, right? You have your position, your mindset, and you're listening, or supposed to be listening, to another mindset, another opinion or view, and how you handle that may lead to multiple transgressions. The more that you speak, the more you're likely to transgress or trespass, to cross the line, to violate some rule or some law of God. So we want to be prudent. This is not something that's unique to just this place in the book of Proverbs. We know that as I said earlier, the Bible has a lot to say about our speech, and even along this line, a couple of other cross-references would be Proverbs 17:27 and 28, which says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." And the very next verse says, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise." When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Even a fool, when he closes his lips, is deemed intelligent, considered wise. James 3:2, it says, we all stumble in many ways. If any man does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So I know that broadens the subject a little bit about our speech to not just restraint or not just withholding, but the idea of bridle is mentioned there. If you're able to not offend in your speech, then you're able to restrain or bridle your whole body. So what can help us do that then? This is what wisdom is, but can I leave here today and feel like, okay, I think I can get myself on track to doing this? Well, James chapter 1 does say in verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And I'm taking that verse kind of out of its context there, not in its understanding, but I'm just saying we've not read the context. But he is talking right before that about how the Lord of his own will brought us forth, gave spiritual birth to us by the word of truth. And he says in the very next verse, know this, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And then he goes on to talk about receiving the word with meekness in verse 21 of that chapter. Receive with meekness the implanted word. And that's when he goes into the next few verses talking about being doers of the word, not hearers only. And not deceiving ourselves that way. But when he finishes that example of like being a man that looks in the mirror and doesn't change versus someone who does persevere in keeping the word or obeying the word, he comes right back to the idea of the tongue again. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I think it's important to the Lord that we really try to bridle our tongue. And the way to do it is to, in the context here, I'm going to see here that if we're more quick to hear, particularly the word of God, the implanted word, and receive that, it will teach us how to speak to people. And it will give us the self-control. The Lord will use that, the Spirit will use that to govern our spirit in the right way. So let's not use our own ingenuity, our own ability, or rely on our own wisdom or understanding in this matter. Let's really seek the Lord to be filled with his word. Let us receive his word with meekness. And let's also be listeners, just in a practical sense, of other people as well. Just learn to be good listeners in general. If not, then, as this verse tells us, when the words are many, transgression is not lacking. And that not lacking means it's a way of saying it's certainly present, but it can also be understood to mean it does not stop, it does not end. And we don't want to have words that just lead us into transgression or trespassing. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So the restraint is meant to be on our words, on our lips. If we restrain our lips, we won't have unrestrained transgressions coming out of our lips. So restrained speech is wise. It's prudent.